Well, good morning, everyone. Okay. I'm going to pull this forward a bit. Sorry to give you a back to you. Whoops. That's dangerous with the glass on there, isn't it? Let's get forward a bit. Well, normally I'm quite well prepared. I like to be prepared. Sorry. But this when I started thinking about what I was going to be sharing, I kind of had... Obviously, you see that verse, that quote there, that comes from the beginning of the book of Acts. And I just had, I wanted to speak something, talk something about out of the book of Acts. It's 28 chapters long, takes two hours and 17 minutes to read it, going at a reasonable speed. Okay, so I'm not going to do that this morning. We've been away for a few days and kind of, lots of things, and Karen kept on saying, you haven't prepared, sort of, I just don't have it. You know, so when you come to speak, sometimes you need a spark. And I think some of the songs that we've sung this morning have kind of summed it up. I mean, that line from that song says, you are worth it all. And the other song we sang, the old one, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. Again, kind of hit where my thoughts eventually went to. So this morning I'm going to share about that, about looking at the book of Acts. As I said, this comes from verse 1 of chapter 1 in the book of Acts, and we'll be in and around the first chapter if you want to go there to read that. The book of Acts, though, you could... You know, it's a funny title. What sort of title should you give that book, really? I kind of think it is the good news of the kingdom in Acts, really. That's what Acts is about, is the ever-growing, ongoing kingdom of God. And so let's, without further ado, let's read a section of it. So it's chapter 1 you'll be needing to look at. And we're running down until verse 8 or thereabouts. In the first book... that O Theophilus, that I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach. Would you say with me, began to do and teach? Right, remember that. Until the day when he was taken up, and after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen, he presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during the 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit, not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times of the season that my Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Father, thank you for your word this morning. And Father, as we consider these words, Father, I pray that you will speak through into our hearts. May the thoughts of our hearts, the meditations of our hearts, and the words of our mouths be acceptable to you, O Lord. Amen. great passage. The book of Acts, I don't know whether you've ever sat down and read it. When you go away on holiday, I'm not a huge great reader. I tend to read theological books more than anything else. I don't kind of... read much else, kind of much else. Perhaps a shame. My sister-in-law, who's a great novel reader, thinks it's very bad, but never mind, that's beside the point. But when you go, I know some people go away and in their suitcase they'll pack three or four books which they'll plow through and they'll get through sitting there on the beach. Well, I'm not a beach person. It's very difficult to read walking around. And I like to be up and around and seeing things. So that's what I do on holiday. But can I suggest, if you're going away on holiday, why not read the book of Acts at one sitting? That, you know, it's great to drop in on individual verses or little passages in the Bible, but there's something you miss by not reading the whole thing. You see, Bible, the word Bible means library. okay? It's a library of books, okay? And some of them are letters. Letter, you don't drop in and read, I've said this many times, but you don't drop in and read one line from a letter, fold it up and put it away. You read the whole jolly lot. So can I suggest, have a go at reading it and keep going. Just read it in one sitting. If you can manage one sitting, do it in two. But don't do it any less, but read it through and read it quite fast. Don't think I've got to analyse this. Just read it and get a sense of the pace of the book, of the excitement that's going on, of the variety, of things that are happening. It is tremendous. You'll find it's an exciting book. Paul and Luke is caught up. He's a brilliant writer, Luke is. He's a good recorder, of an observer of things that are happening, and he relates them to what God is saying. So, and it's done at a pace, okay? So it's a great book. And the reason why I was thinking about this was because just recently, I'm sure for all the people in the church, I'm going to say this, but you already know, but we've been looking at Being My Witnesses this last term, okay? And it's an important, important subject. And really, the book of Acts was all about being his witnesses. And so I just want to come in and just sort of undergird that. But before we do that, I want to drop back to 2 weeks ago. Well, Neil said, and I just want to praise you that. I looked online to see if... Is it up online? I'm not quite sure, but I think it might be, might not be. But hopefully it will be. I just want to praise you and run through something that he said, because I think it's well worth just repeat, or things that he said. His main points here, first of all, he said, God has a plan for all that he is doing. And he said, in particular, he's got a place for you in his plan, in all that he's doing. He said that we are saved, and that we're not only just saved out of sin, which is great, it's very, very important, but we're saved into his purposes. Okay? It's not just an up until negative. This is a positive thing. You're saved into what he is doing. Okay? We also need to learn to belong. Because we are God's own possession. 1 Peter 2, verse 9 is what he quoted. We belong together. We are a chosen people. See how corporate this is? We are chosen people, a holy nation. You can't have one person. You don't have a one-person nation. You don't have a one-person people. We are together, corporately, one people, one nation, being built together. And I've linked into the Ephesians 2, 22. We are a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. He referred to that. Okay, so learn to belong. We need to belong together. And also, he mentioned that we are equipped by the Holy Spirit. And as Keith talked about the love of God this morning, another way maybe of putting that is, rather than seeing ourselves having to earn something, so we serve to earn sonship, actually, we are empowered sons who are equipped to serve in the love of God. I think that's probably as quick as I could type it down from what he said. But I think that's great, that we are empowered sons, equipped to serve in the love of God. And then, of course, he said we were sent. We are sent to live in the plan of God. And he pictured it as a big circle. Can you remember? He had his big circle going round. And when he got to number 5, he was ending back to number 1 again. And I added this on. As we go, sorry, this is a bit faint. As we go, we learn more of God's plans, purposes, and ways. And the process moves forward again. Because as you begin to learn, you begin to understand God's bigger picture of salvation. And salvation comes to your house again. It's not initial salvation, but your life is changed. It's ongoing sanctification that happens, and so on. So just to refer back to that, if it is on the website and you haven't heard Neil's talk, it's brilliant. Have a listen to it. Do that, please. So let's go back to the Acts. So what's that got to do with the Acts? Sorry? All right. Okay, so obviously, just a little sort of more background stuff. When Luke would have written, he would have written in Koine Greek. From what I was reading, the Greek that they used there was better than the average Koine Greek. Don't know whether you know. You might have heard of the term Koine Greek, Common Greek, and think it's just one linear thing. But actually, there are degrees. there are the ways that the Jews would speak, and there were ways of different parts of the nations. It was kind of a flexible thing, but it had a commonality among it, okay? But Luke's Greek is actually better than the kind of the norm. And he would have wrote a letter. There's quite an early scroll. Obviously, in Greek, you're reading from the left to the right like we do and down the page. Obviously, in Hebrew, you were going the other way around. They would start from this side and work that way down, okay? And a letter would go out. Someone would send a letter out, and it would be rolled up from that way around. So that's the first part of the message. So obviously, when you get to the end, hang on, I'm just going to put this down 2 seconds. So a letter would be rolled. Letter would be rolled this way. There is a use for mic stands, really. Okay, so the letter would be rolled like that. And as you can see up the top there, there's some, perhaps you can't see, but there are some seals that would be maybe one seal. I know of one letter that had 7 seals. Yeah? Does that bring it to life? Okay, what was on those 7 seals? That's interesting. Anyway, that's another point. I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole. But the thing was, the messenger needed to know who it was going to. He knew by the seals who it come from. And very often what you could do is look at the first bit. So when you read a letter, when you read any letter in the New Testament especially, generally in the whole Bible, but when you read, the first words that you read are vital to the rest of the whole thing. Very often, the first words give away the whole thing of what the rest of the letter is about. Okay? So we find, first of all, that he addresses the Acts to Theophilus. That's a name and a half. Right, let's just go on a bit. I think this whole block is next. Is he having 5 minutes? Is it? It should go on. If you can. Eh? Only after. What, off of here? Yeah, the trouble is I pinched this off the web, so it isn't actually scripture. But it is an old codex. Ah, great, thank you. Right, okay, so the addressee was the first thing we need to know, Theophilus. And Theophilus, when you take it apart, means God love or God lover, okay? So you could say lover of God or loved of God or even friend of God. That's what Theophilus means. So was this a guy? I mean, there are theologians and scholars who would be talking about this was a particular person or not. I don't really know. I've read lots of things backwards and forwards. And I'm not convinced. One thing I am sure of is addressed to us. If you love God and God loves you, this is your book. This is your story, okay? might be very simple. But that's who it's written to. He wanted the lovers of God to know what was happening and what had happened. Next thing you find is the subject, the things that he wants to deal with. So next thing we'll find in a minute. Is it coming? still not there. While Joe's finding it, he lists 3 things. I'll let you into it if we can. Oh, hang on. The battery's come out. Ah! Help! Okay, well, someone's come into my assistance, maybe. Any techie person here? Oh, he's a mechanical guy, isn't he? John, you can put that back together again. Just put the battery back in, mate. It's okay, it's just popped out. At the back? Yeah? Okay, so what he did was, these things are sent to try us. He said, first of all, he says, all that Jesus began to do and to teach, okay, until the time he was taken up. He was recording all those things and referring back to the previous gospel that he'd written. In fact, actually, I look at Acts as actually the second part of the Gospel of Luke. That's how I kind of treat it. It's just the continuation of the story because it picks up exactly at the end. He says, and then the other thing he wants to talk about is the Holy Spirit is going to be poured out in your hearts and he's going to continue Jesus' work. And then he tells the disciples that they are going to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. Okay. So those are the first three things you find there. And the rest of the book explains those three points, effectively. It's a summary. Okay? And so that's a clue. When you come to any book in the New Testament, any book in the Bible, just look at the... Thank you, John. All done. Right. Okay. Not easy. Oh, wow, we got... Oh, are you... We'll just scroll on. Oh, sorry. Am I? Yay. Okay. So we got that. So we've understood who this book is about. So what's in a name? What's in a name if it'll run? Oh, dear, the techies. Ah, hey, good. So... the Acts of the Apostles, that's one of the titles it could be. Some people call it the Acts of the Holy Spirit. I like to think of it as the ongoing Acts of Jesus. Sorry? Peter Wack. What, he says what? Acts of the Holy Spirit. Okay. But Peter Wagner, if you know him, he was a great friend of John Wimber and came from Fuller. One of the guys at Fuller, yes, who wrote one about that. But I actually think it's actually the continuing work of Jesus by the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the focus there. And Acts reveals a progression in the gospel. It divides, you can divide it up many ways, but you can divide it into six parts. Each has a summary sort of statement. And the progression goes like this, from Jerusalem to Judea, Galilee, and Samaria. So it goes out from Jerusalem, being the center, to Galilee and Samaria. Samaria would have been the old capital of the old 10 nations of Israel in the days of the pre-Babylon thing, okay? So he's going for key centers, on out through Syria to Cyprus, Pisidia of Pamphylia, like Laconia and Cilicia. So that's over in the sort of the Turkey area, that sort of area. On into Asia and to Greece, and then finally to Rome. So those are the kind of that's how this message progresses. So Luke's second book ends with Paul still testifying to the kingdom of God. If you look at the beginning, the kingdom of God is mentioned at the beginning twice. And some time ago, I just dropped a thing. Although you don't find the phrase kingdom of God in Acts very often. It's actually there by implication, because every time the title Christ is used, they are referencing the king. They are referencing the Messiah, the King of Kings. They're referencing the kingdom of God. So you find that Paul is still talking about it when he gets to Rome, and it ends rather abruptly. And again, number of books have been written on why does it end like this? You know, it kind of comes to an end. Paul's preaching, and that's it. But there's no sort of, it's not resolved awfully well. Eh? You've seen my notes, haven't you, mate? Yeah, that's right. You see, I feel it's God's invitation to enter into what he's doing today. That's why it's left like that. That's how it came across to me. You see, you know the famous Toy Story, Buzz Lightyear's phrase, to infinity and beyond. You remember? Well, that's what Jesus by the Holy Spirit is actually saying to us. Jesus by the Spirit is saying, to the ends of the earth and beyond, okay? Thy kingdom come must be our rallying cry. That's what this book is about. Okay, so when you watch Toy Story 1, 2, or 3 with the kids, and you hear, to infinity and beyond, think of that. That Acts is, we're writing the story of Acts in this day. We're writing the story of the ongoing kingdom of God. So let's go on a little bit more, a little bit deeper down into the chapter. We come to verse 6. And when they'd come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? So, excuse me, I'm just going to have a glass of water. That's better, thank you. I went to do a talk the other night, this is by the by, and I asked for a glass of water, and they brought me out 4 glasses of water plus a jug. And I thought, oh my goodness me, am I going to be that long? I'm going to need... It's a good job that it's not Robin Bush, who has passed away, is talking to you, because he used to go on stage with a bottle of claret and proceeded to drink the bottle, and the performance finished when he got to the end of the bottle of wine. And the stories got merrier as the evening went on as well. Quite a character Robin was. But anyway, back to a glass of water. I'll have another drop. Yeah. Yeah. So, they still don't seem to have an idea that he was returning back to heaven. They seem to, you know, this question, is it this time you're going to restore the king? Well, actually, it was a logical question. You see, they had accepted him as Messiah. He had been raised from the dead. The miracles proved that he was Messiah. His words also lined up. It all lined up. So the next logical step was he was going to come back with a big army and smash them. Smash the Romans. And at finally, long last, since the days before they went to Babylon, Israel would be restored under someone who is David's son, okay, and all put back together for right. Well, they'd kind of got the wrong plan. Actually, they'd got the right plan, but the wrong timing. And so often I found in my life, actually, that I very often hear God very clearly. I just don't know his timing very well. Have you ever found that? You know, you kind of hear God and then, right, I'm going to do that. And actually, we just sometimes don't have a time scale on it, okay? So don't, if God has spoken to you and it hasn't happened, don't give up on it. It's just that you haven't got the time scale yet. Keep pressing in. Keep knocking on heaven's door. Anyway, that was an aside. But Jesus does answer their question, actually. And why? How he answers them, he says, you are going to be my heralds, my forerunners. The term apostle or is about being a messenger. We think of apostles setting churches and having governmental control. Yes, it is that. But primarily in this sort of usage, it's actually someone who goes and heralds the good news that a new king has come into power and everything is going to change. Everything's going to be okay and it's going to be sorted. Okay? You're going to be my witnesses, the witnesses of the kingdom. But bigger than that, they're not just going to be someone who actually just announces a new king and moves on. They're going to be people who are going to implement God's bigger plan to the ends of the earth, to infinity and beyond, you might say. So, that's kind of a précis of that little bit of section of the book. And the thing that started me thinking about it was 2 weeks ago when we sang this song. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. And it was just that, actually, it was just that little first phrase, I stand amazed in the presence. And it was this one little line that it's the presence of the King that changes everything. It's the presence of the King that changes everything. I was going to sing it, but I'm not going to. We're running out of time. We could sing it at the end. So, this book of Acts, I think it's the continuing, ever-spreading story of the presence of Jesus by the Holy Spirit in his disciples, the ongoing acts of Jesus. The presence of Jesus by the indwelling Spirit makes all the difference. Yeah? The presence of of Jesus by the indwelling Spirit makes all the difference. That's what this story tells us. When you read through it, you'll find. Because lots of things happen. There are good stuff happened. And, there, you know, one guy is in prison looking like he's going towards the end, and suddenly angels turn up. And with a very convenient earthquake, open doors, and out they go. Another guy gets in prison and gets stoned. Okay? Not a good, you know, there's lots of different stories going on in here. People are healed. Some people die. Someone falls out of a window and dies and then is resurrected. All sorts of things. But the preaching of the word goes forward. It's the presence of Jesus that makes all the difference. It's the presence of Jesus that's really the only story to be told. Because he said, you're going to be my witnesses. You're not going to be a witness about Paul or Peter or anybody else. You're going to be my witnesses. Jesus' story is the only story. And it's the presence of Jesus. The presence of Jesus is here to stay. As we pray, thy kingdom come, the kingdom comes, and the king is very present. I don't know whether you've thought about this this prayer. We think of it as a prayer. But actually, we need to think of it a bit broader than that, because it's more than just a prayer. It's a prayer, it's an invitation, and it's a declaration of a kingdom reality. So when we pray it, we're asking God, let your kingdom be seen, let it be embodied. It's an invitation in that way. But it's also a declaration of what already is. You see, although the king is gone back to heaven and is reigning there, his reign then comes through his people, the people of God, by the indwelling spirit. So in one sense, as again, Peter Wagner and various other people, it was the chap who wrote the Not Yet But Now Kingdom Come thing. Oh, I can't think what his name is. Mine's gone blank. Yeah? Sir? Yeah, George Eldon Ladd. Thank you, George Eldon Ladd. He says the kingdom is here, but not, you know, it's coming. You know, it's sort of a delay thing. But we're here as representatives, as people, inaugurating and seeing that kingdom reality being lived out in people's lives. So it's the presence of Jesus. That's the first point I want to kind of make this morning. It's the presence of Jesus that makes all the difference. And after all is said and done, really that's where the rubber meets the road. Another phrase you'll find in there is that we are to be, Jesus says, you are to be my witnesses. Now you might get, we've been looking at this. This is a done deal. You might think, oh, I don't really like going door-to-door knocking or whatever. But actually, if you love Jesus, you're a witness. You're a witness to something that's already happened. Okay? Just get up with it. You know, that's the reality. Now, the world isn't, although the world is saying we're getting, and this country is getting more and more liberal, I don't know whether you've noticed this. The liberality that's coming is getting also at the same time more illiberal. In that sense, as it gets more liberal, it gets worse. I don't want to be a gloomy one, but I think we need a reality check, because we actually, you know, a number of issues are coming up that are causing problems. The issue of marriage, same-sex marriage, is those sorts of things. You know, you can relate them, and they will be hot potatoes. And if you went with a traditional Christian view, as you say that, you will be called someone who is conservative. Well, not conservative, but you're one who's bigoted and illiberal. And in fact, you know, I won't go into all the arguments in and around that. But things are trending to that. But we are witnesses. In amongst all of that, we are witnesses. We are witnesses in two ways, really. We're both passive and active witnesses. What do I mean by that? I mean this. In a sense, in the passive one, we have come to know Christ. We weren't there. I wasn't there in the day of Acts. I might look it, but I wasn't. No one here. We weren't there when Jesus was around, but we've read the stories. We are witness to the fact of his life, and that has come to us. So we've kind of seen it from a distance. We have a story to tell, a valid story to tell, and we are called by God to give evidence. Not to support him, not to cheer him up, but to say, well, this is the truth. But there is an active witness as well, because something has happened. If God is working in your heart, something has happened, and something is happening, and something will happen. So hence the various stories and testimonies that we have where God has moved in. Those are things to be witnessed about. Those are things to be shared. Those are things to be actively told. And Jesus wants us to be witness in both those ways, in the sort of passive sense, but in that active sense. That very first verse in Acts 1 requires us to speak. You see, Jesus began to do and to teach. We need to be doing both, the doing and the teaching, the doing and the speaking. The message is very important. And it's actually one message locked into two little bits. Don't separate them out. Get them both together. Okay, you're doing and you're witnessing. Okay. And be his witnesses. We are his witnesses. And you can go elsewhere in the scripture and it tells you that he'll give you, especially in John, another comforter, and the Holy Spirit will empower them. It tells you there, actually, that the Holy Spirit was going to come and empower them to send them out. And that's exactly what happened. So, be my witnesses. We've been looking at this in house group and thinking about it. Just do it. Just share those little stories. Ask God for those opportunities to share those relevant stories, to share your love of Jesus with people you meet. You don't need to give them the whole deal. If God leads you that way, go with it. But if he just gives you just one little bit to tell them, to make a link, to make them think or have them to question, who is this God? Okay? So this story is still being written. And we are writing it. We have the privilege of being his witnesses and writing this great story that's ongoing. I wonder if we can stand. And I want to look at a passage from Ephesians 3, 17 to 21. And I wonder if we can read it together. Very often we don't have, if you can stand, that is. If you can't stand, that's also good. But I wonder if we can just affirm this. You know, very often standing is a sign of sort of affirming and things. So, obviously, I haven't got the thing up here yet. So, if you can't see the projector, the screen, it's Ephesians 3, 17 to 21. I wonder if we can say this together. So, may Christ dwell in our hearts through faith, that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the height, depth, and to know the love of God, that's his knowledge, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, that you've called us. Lord Jesus, we just thank you that you, your presence, makes all the difference. Father, and there's nowhere we can run away from your presence. May we have a reality of that this week and just share the fragrance and the presence and the good news of Jesus. May we be good witnesses to him who loved us and paid for our sin and brought us into your family and brought us into your presence. Amen. So, go in peace to love and serve our great God. Amen. Amen.